This is Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, a few weeks ago, we talked to MSU tourism researcher Dr. Sarah Nichols about the 2014 industry forecast. We've invited her back to discuss the future of the tourism industry beyond 2014 and in the context of the Michigan Tourism Strategic Plan, which she played a key role in developing. Sarah, good to see you again.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Well, Sarah, we talked about that last time, and we talked about the importance of the Michigan tourism industry. What we did not talk about to any great extent was the Michigan Tourism Strategic Plan. Tell our listeners a little bit about that plan and why is it so important?
Let's start with sort of setting the context of the importance of tourism in the state. Visitors in Michigan spend about $18 billion every year, and about 200,000 people are employed in the tourism industry across the state. And we think we're the third largest industry. So this strategic plan that the industry developed together in 2012 really sets a path to grow the industry over the next 5 years. We'd like to grow the industry. We'd also like to increase the contribution of tourism to the state's overall economic development. So obviously, if we bring in more visitors, they spend more money, and ultimately they create jobs and maybe even new businesses that benefits everyone throughout the state.
One thing in a previous conversation that you reminded me of that I've never really thought of that much before, but you get people here for tourism purposes, and maybe down the road you actually get them to move to the great state of Michigan.
Absolutely. So that's really sort of the ultimate contribution to the state. A visitor comes, they have a fantastic experience, they come back and spend more money. They tell their friends and relatives what a great time they had. They all come and spend some money. And ultimately, some of those people might decide to retire here or to move here and bring their families and maybe even start a business or relocate a business. So it's not just about the travel per se, but the potential for those longer-term economic impacts is real.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the second strategic plan for the tourism industry. You've been involved in the development of both. There are some states that have never done this, which strikes me as rather odd, but Michigan seems to be a leader in strategic planning.
Absolutely. So almost every state has an entity like Travel Michigan, which is essentially a promotional marketing entity. Most of those states have a marketing plan. So they spend a lot of time and money thinking about how to bring more visitors, how to advertise, where to advertise, and so on. Only a couple of other states have a truly comprehensive, industry-driven strategic plan that looks beyond the marketing aspect. And obviously, marketing is important, and we could do a lot more to bring more visitors to our state, but we do have a phenomenal marketing campaign. Pure Michigan has been recognized as one of the best, not only in the country, but in the world. So back in 2009, Forbes developed a list of what they considered to be the 10 best tourism marketing campaigns ever. So any place, any time. And Pure Michigan was on that list. So we know we're good, and we're seeing the results of that in terms of more visitors and return on investment. The potential downside of having such a phenomenal marketing campaign is the incredibly high expectations that those adverts set. So if you think about someone sitting in their living room watching TV in Dallas, and they see an ad, so they see those phenomenal images, and they hear the voice of Tim Allen, and they hear the music, it's incredibly emotive. And they decide to make a trip to Michigan. What we need to do then, of course, is to deliver them an experience that meets or even better exceeds those very high expectations that those phenomenal ads set in their mind.
Well, I don't need to tell you this, Sarah. A fundamental rule of marketing is don't over-promote or don't promote what you can't deliver.
Absolutely. So really what this strategic plan focuses on is all of those other things that the industry needs to do to deliver those phenomenal experiences that meet or exceed the expectations that the Pure Michigan campaign is promising.
My guest is Sarah Nickel. She's tourism researcher, also a professor in the MSU Department of Community Sustainability and the Department of Geography. Sarah's work is funded in part by our good friends at MSU Ag Bio Research. Sarah, talk a little bit about what came out of the strategic plan. We're going to talk to Roger Curtis right after this, and I know he's involved in the marketing and promotion component, but there were eight different components that sort of surfaced out of this planning process.
Absolutely. So we came up with eight goals, and they relate broadly to these categories. So one relates to collaboration, cooperation, and partnerships. So what that goal recognizes is that the tourism industry is very diverse and fragmented. There's lots of different types of business that contribute to an overall tourism experience. So it's not just the obvious things like our accommodations and transportation, but it's all of our retail entities, all of our petrol stations and convenience stores, the transportation network. So we really need to do a better job of bringing together all of these different entities from the public, the private, the not-for-profit sector, from the federal level all the way down through our counties and townships, and bringing everyone together around this sort of shared vision of improving the tourism industry. Another big focus is product development. So when we talk about product in the context of tourism, we're talking about sort of the quantity and the quality and the diversity of our attractions, as well as our accommodations options. We're also talking again about transportation and being able to get people into the state and around the state in a convenient and a highly connected network. And we all know we have
issues with
our roads. Yes. The tourism industry is very supportive of all of the efforts that are going on right now to increase funding for our road network, because that is one of the first impressions that a visitor driving into Michigan is going to have. So that's a big focus. Again, we've talked a little bit about the importance of promotion and marketing. We also know that we need to focus on our resources. When we think about resources in the tourism context, it's not just our natural resources, which we have an abundance of in this state, but also all of the cultural, heritage, historic, architectural, and agricultural resources that we have that serve as settings for tourism experiences. And the challenge in any kind of resource setting is promoting those resources, encouraging people to visit them and giving people enjoyable experiences, while at the same time maintaining and protecting the integrity of the resources.
Those authentic experiences.
Absolutely. Can we do to provide access and promote visitation, but at the same time to maintain the quality of all of these great resources we have? Then another key emphasis is on service. So providing a consistently superior customer service experience. So wherever you are in the state, both geographically and whatever kind of an entity you're at. So not just the sort of the obvious, the check-in experience at a hotel, but every time a visitor stops at a convenience store, every time they stop for gas, sort of putting on a shared face, a friendly, warm welcome that really makes a visitor feel special, feel welcome, and want to come back.
Back to delivering on that brand
promise. Absolutely, delivering on the Pure Michigan promise.
Yeah. And there's a major component in public policy and government support. I mean, that goes without saying. The government support has been there for Pure Michigan across a couple of gubernatorial regimes, but that's got to increase, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We've seen good support over the current and the previous governor. Yes, we would like to see support for the Pure Michigan campaign continue to increase. There's still a lot to do as far as expanding the reach of that Pure Michigan campaign. We also realize that, again, because the industry is a little bit more fragmented than other industries, it doesn't have as strong a voice as, say, the auto manufacturing industry or the agricultural industry. So really bringing the industry as a whole together to inform our legislators, but also our county and local officials, local businesses who might not consider themselves a part of the tourism industry, but that nevertheless benefit from tourism, and also our residents. So really, really raising awareness throughout the state of the importance of this industry and the importance of welcoming every single guest and wanting to have them come back and bring all of their friends too. There is a tourism strategic plan website. It's tourismplan.anr.msu.edu. And I think the ultimate takeaway message is that anything that we can do to improve the tourism experience in the state is good for every single person in the state, because a place that is desirable as a place to visit is typically a place that is also desirable to live. So it's a place that has good transportation infrastructure, a place with lots of things to do, a place with a wide variety of restaurants to dine at. So I think really the more we can do to improve ourselves as a tourism destination, we are all going to benefit.
I'm talking with Sarah Nichols. She is a tourism researcher, Michigan State University. She's a professor in the Department of Community Sustainability and Geography. Sarah, thanks so much for being on Greening of the Great Lakes.
Thank you so much.
This is Greening of the Great Lakes, inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, we welcome back to the program Roger Curtis. Roger is president of the Michigan International Speedway. And for purposes of this interview, Roger serves as the chair of the Michigan Travel Commission, and he was a key contributor to the Michigan Tourism Strategic Plan. Roger, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Roger, we usually talk about all the neat things you're doing down at MIS on the green front, but let's talk about this Michigan Tourism Strategic Plan and the process of getting that developed. We just heard from Sarah Nichols about some of the process, but from an industry perspective, how would you characterize it?
Fantastic. I mean, it's amazing. It's been all-encompassing. This is actually the second strategic plan for Travel Michigan for the industry, and the first one was outstanding as well, but really more about, I think, building the foundation, the fundamentals of getting tourism kind of up and running, getting the industry coalesced, if you will, and building that frame. And at the same time, obviously George Zimmerman and McCann Erickson were busy building the brand and building Pure Michigan and what it was going to be, and trying to secure the funding was just such a critical part of that entire plan. And now we're kind of getting there. Now we're well over $30 million for funding. Pure Michigan is a national brand. It's getting national recognition. Still a lot of work to go, still a lot of opportunity, both in the United States and most certainly internationally. But now comes strategic plan two, I guess, if you will, and a lot more in-depth, a lot more detail, a lot more rubber hitting the road, if you will, kind of initiatives involved in this one. So it's really morphed from that, big picture idea of what could we as a state be to, okay, this is what we could be. Let's roll up our sleeves and now go make some of this happen.
Roger, as we look at some of the implementation plans that are underway, I was reading some material Sarah sent me and talking to her earlier about the fact that Michigan is just one of a few states that has a strategic plan for its tourism industry, which strikes me as rather odd given the importance of tourism in so many states.
Yeah, I mean, it does me too. It kind of floored me, but having been on the Travel Commission for a few years now before being honored with the chairship here, we have a very proactive industry, and that's hard to do. I mean, we all have our day jobs, and I'm running a racetrack, and someone's running an amusement park or a winery or a hotel or a museum or whatever it may be around the state, and I'm sure I know we're not perfect, but I mean, wow, you look at where we're at as a state and an industry within this state compared to others, and you would think, like off the top of your head, Virginia, New York, California, Florida, I don't know if maybe they feel like they've got so many, built-in destinations with Disney or Hollywood or whatever it may be that they don't need to come together as an industry, but you would think that other states would be thinking like we are. So I'm really proud of what we've done here. Certainly George Zimmerman, while he was here, laid some great groundwork. I know the MEDC is hard at work on finding a replacement for George, but I'm really proud of the travel commissioners, individuals and as a group, and the work that Dr. Nichols, what Sarah does to help help keep us all herded. She's the best sheep herder I've ever seen, because we tend to get all over the place, but she keeps us really focused, and the amount of time that the team is putting into it and the representation, the two-way communication, if you will, between the travel commissioners and the rest of the industry has been absolutely fantastic. And that's what helps us be as organized as we are and have a plan and be together, unlike these other states.
My guest is Roger Curtis. He's the president of MIS, but he also serves as the chair of the Michigan Travel Commission, and we're talking about the Michigan Tourism Strategic Plan. Tell us about the implementation committees and the next steps.
And so with the implementation committees, we broke out, and there's great representation. There's at least two travel commissioners on each committee. And then we've gone out and gotten some quote-unquote at-large representation. And it's a great cross-section of tourism, both geographically and types of businesses within the tourism industry. So I think every niche within our collective industry is well represented. And we're meeting to really talk about what are those next steps. And I'll give you just a great example specifically to the Promotion Marketing Communications Committee that I'm on. We've really focused on two big things, and that is some research on international students. I mean, it just hit us, wow. You know, we have more international students here than I think we're only beat by one state, maybe California. And it's phenomenal, the tens of thousands of international students that we have here. And we thought, wow, these are tremendous ambassadors. They could be traveling here. They could be telling people back in their homeland. They could be telling their parents, their relatives. A lot of them are coming here, bringing family and friends at some point during their careers, college careers here. So doing some research to dig a little bit deeper into how we can maximize that opportunity. So like I said, we're starting to get into some really nuanced, rubber-hitting-the-road kind of initiatives. Another one, we're focusing purely on the biking opportunity that exists and how that's exploding around the country and what role Michigan could have in that. And bringing just that industry within the industry together is a lot of work. But again, a nuance, a niche, if you will, that I think is going to pay off some great dividends as we go forward. I knew biking was becoming big, but to find out what some of the things we already had in place, and maybe they were working in a silo, if you will, and now to bring, like I said, that industry within the industry together and to get all the influencers and leaders in the biking industry together and talk about the trails that exist or the events that already exist and how we could market better and more and do some things differently when we get everyone working in the same direction. And I think this is just going to, like I said, not only pay dividends for the biking industry, but once we get this one going, we're going to move on to the next one. And maybe it's, you know, craft beers, or maybe it's, I keep hearing everyone wants to do biking and stopping by the microbrewery. So we may combine those two right away.
As you and the other industry leaders developed the strategic plan, what were you learning about the interface between green and tourism?
That it's huge, and it's only going to keep getting more important as we go. It's critical, and I see this here even with our NASCAR races. A lot of people don't think that there's a correlation between a NASCAR fan watching, you know, cars race and being green, but yet there is a huge correlation, and those folks are conservationists. They love fishing, biking, hunting, camping, boating. That's outdoors, and you need to make sure that you promote to them that you have those assets, and this state has a ton of them. I mean, not just the Great Lakes, but the inland lakes and the beauty and the scenery from East Coast to West Coast to the UP down to the Irish Hills here, and I think that's one of the things that's really starting to resonate nationally, particularly as we look at climate change and people in Texas and Arizona. It's not just in the 80s and 90s anymore. It's even warmer than that. And, hey, you can come up to Pure Michigan and have an absolutely amazing summertime up here and be very green. So that's going to be really important that we are good stewards of our natural resources up here not just now, but well into the future. We need to be very cognizant of that for tourism and many other reasons, too, as you know.
Very eloquently put, Roger. As always, I've been talking with Roger Curtis, president of the Michigan International Speedway. He also chairs the Michigan Travel Commission. And congratulations on the development, Roger, of the Michigan Tourism Strategic Plan, which is going to take Pure Michigan to even a higher level in the great state of Michigan.
Thank you very much. I can't wait to see what happens in the next couple of years. It's going to be awesome.
This is Greening of the Great Lakes, inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, my next guest is well-known tourism researcher, and he's going to give us his take on how the industry will fare this year. He is Dr. Dan McColl. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Community Sustainability at Michigan State University. And he, along with his colleague Sarah Nichols, recently provided a 2014 tourism forecast at the Pure Michigan Governors Conference on Tourism in Traverse City. Dan, welcome to the show. And it looks like it might be a pretty good year for the tourism sector.
Yeah, it looks all signs are pointing toward a good year right now. So we're looking forward and very optimistic for this year.
We'll get into some of those numbers in a minute you and Sarah came up with. But the importance of the tourism industry overall to Michigan's economy, generally we hear about agriculture, manufacturing, particularly automotive manufacturing, and tourism as the big three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tourism is a large industry, and it's really important for its economic activity. There is some debate as to whether it's two or three with agriculture. It doesn't really matter. It's difficult to measure tourism activity sometimes. But it's definitely important for its economic activity. But I would also say it's important for other reasons for the state. The Pure Michigan campaign, as an example, has done a great job of changing the image of the state in the eyes of people around the country. When people 5 years ago thought of Michigan, if they hadn't been here, and Michigan isn't a state you really drive through to get somewhere else, so if they hadn't been here, what did they know about Michigan? They knew what was in the news, and what was coming out of the news about what was coming out of Michigan in the news wasn't necessarily
wasn't
the most positive
good,
stuff.
No.
Yeah. So the Pure Michigan campaign, I think, caught people's attention, first of all, because they said Michigan, and they looked at these images, and it didn't really match. And so that was good. It caught people's attention and changed their image of the state. And so I think the tourism industry is, in addition to its strong economic activity, helps in that way. And especially, and I think, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation would say that it's helped to recruit businesses because that image has changed to try to keep and retain businesses here in Michigan or to attract and retain businesses.
You mentioned it doesn't really matter where the top three stack up, but I think you make a good point because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a lot of overlap. I think of agricultural tourism, which is a growing part of the whole tourism and agriculture sector. Then you've got like the Woodward Avenue Dream Cruise, which those are cars and tourism as well. So don't these sectors sort of interface? And maybe tourism is sort of the linchpin.
That's right. Well, any good tourism destination takes a look at what assets it has, what resources it has. In Michigan here, we're known for our cars, right? So the Woodward Dream Cruise is really great. The Henry Ford is one of the big attractions in the Detroit area. And they do national advertising to capitalize on that, because I think that's one of the things people know about the resources that Michigan has. But then agriculturally, we're the second most agriculturally diverse state in the nation behind California. And so we're really able to take advantage of a lot of those things, too. We are able to grow good wine grapes here, very good wine grapes in certain parts of the state, which a lot of states can't do. And so we have a thriving wine industry. Our breweries are doing well. The agricultural tourism is important, but it's especially important right now. It's very hot right now around the country.
Well, Dan, let's take a look at the report that you and Sarah put together. What are we looking at for 2014? It looks like an uptick.
It is an uptick. We had a couple really bad down years during the Great Recession, followed by, once we started coming out of that, a big jump up. Didn't fully recover yet, but it was a big jump. It got us a lot closer to where we were before the recession. Now we're seeing more steady growth. We expect, when we look at tourism activity, we look at the number of people traveling around the state as well as the amount they're spending. And when we were first recovering, there was a lot more people traveling around, but they weren't spending much. There were a lot of really good bargains and deals out there. People were still reluctant to spend a lot. What we're seeing now is we expect to see a small increase in the number of people traveling around the state. We're predicting about a 1.5% increase. But they should be spending more. People are loosening up their wallets when they're traveling a little bit more. So we expect to see a 4.5% increase in spending.
Are these people coming from within Michigan or are they coming from out of state?
Well, both. But I mean, one of the things that we've been seeing over the last 5 or 6 years is an increase in out-of-state visitors like we haven't seen before. The Pure Michigan campaign has run nationally for the first time, and the state has really promoted itself to a national audience. And the industry feels it has a good national product, especially in the summer, that it can attract people to our climate and our lakes and our beaches and to golf, especially compared to the southern states where it gets so oppressively hot during the summer, to bring them up here and say, hey, you know, summer's really nice here in Michigan.
You know, talking to some people from the Traverse City area on this program, but what they're saying up there is for food, for agricultural tourism, for golf, for the water, et cetera, that they are really becoming a national destination, kind of an extension of Mackinac Island in the Grand Hotel. Is that true all over Northern Michigan?
Well, I think Northern Michigan is certainly seeing that, but also down in the Southwest a little bit. But absolutely, Traverse City, I think, is probably the place outside the region that has been that has seen the most increased recognition. And, you know, it's people, celebrities like Mario Batali, you know, who just loves the Traverse City area and the local food movement that's going on there.
Madonna's parents, the Ciccone's, who have a winery up there.
That's right, they do. But, you know, there's been a lot of publicity and a lot of shows about that, and it's attracted a lot of attention to the area.
My guest is Dr. Dan McColl. He's an assistant professor in the MSU Department of Community Sustainability, also a tourism researcher. Part of your report I found rather interesting, people looking for what you call authentic travel experiences. I would think any travel experience would be rather authentic, but what do you mean? I mean, you have a specific meaning for authentic travel experiences.
Yeah, well, you know, when people travel, they want to experience the local culture. You know, you hear people say, oh, where did the locals eat? Or, you know, they're trying to sample the food or the drinks of the area. And that's always been true. We go to Italy for, you know, the food, or French for the cuisine, you know, whatever it is. But one of the things we're seeing, you know, over the last 20, 30 years has been a real increase in the sort of homogenization of really the U.S. and society in general, but also in the travel industry. So, you know, one of the things I said in my presentation, if you go to Massachusetts on vacation, here are the brands you're likely to see. And it's, you know, Holiday Inn and Outback Steakhouse and Olive Garden and these. Now, if you go to Georgia, the brands you're likely to see are Holiday Inn and Outback Steakhouse.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't really matter where you go around the country. If you get off an interstate that has some hotels, motels,
absolutely,
it's going to be the same ones no matter where you are. And I think, you know, and that's worked really well for, especially for business travelers, and it's very easy. You know what you're going to get when you go to those places. But I think as a result of that happening over time, people said, you know, when we travel, we want to see something different. We want to go to a local place. We want to go to a place that features local agriculture or local beverages. That's why the wine industry is really hot right now. Craft breweries are popping up all over, and people are traveling for those. People are looking for restaurants that aren't part of some national chain when they travel. They're looking for something local. They're looking for something that features local ingredients. That's part of what we're talking about, but it's not just for food and beverage, right? When you go, you want to see, what does Michigan have that's unique? You know, to see those giant dunes on the west part of the state, or to see some of the history in the southeast part of the state, and what Motown or something related to the auto industry, or Henry Ford, very unique to the destination. Mackinac Island is another great example. So Michigan has a lot of these authentic places, and what better way to really absorb a place than to, you know, eat the local foods and to see the things
Absolutely.
That are quite unique.
But where can people go to get more, to take a look at your report?
Well, they can go to our department website. And so it's the Department of Community Sustainability at MSU.
I imagine people can just Google.
If they Google Community Sustainability or Dan McColl, Sarah Nichols, they'll find the report.
I've been talking with Dr. Dan McColl. He's an assistant professor and tourism researcher at Michigan State University. His work is funded in part by our good friends at MSU Ag BioResearch. Dan, thanks so much for being on Greening of the Great Lakes.
Sure thing. Thank you for having us.
This is Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, coming right up, June 12th and 14th through 14 is a wonderful event, an inaugural event in Lansing. It is called the Grand American Fish Rodeo, and it's produced by the Michigan Institute for Contemporary Art. And to tell us a little bit about the Institute and a lot about the Grand American Fish Rodeo is Terry Terry. Terry is the co-founder and president of the Michigan Institute for Contemporary Art. He's also the president of Message Makers. Terry, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Terry, tell us, first of all, before we get into this wonderful event, the Fish Rodeo, tell us a little bit about the Michigan Institute for Contemporary Art, or what do you call it, MICA?
MICA, yeah. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. Started many, many, many years ago, and our first effort was helping with the revitalization of Old Town in Lansing, Michigan. We produced the Lansing Jazz Fest and the Old Town Blues Fest. Our mission is really to create an open space in the community where people can come together, meet old friends, make new friends, and have conversations about how we can make our place, Lansing, Michigan, State, a better place.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned the Jazz Fest and Blues Fest. I noticed my own accounting firm and my good friend Nikolai Luke at Simplified are among the sponsors of the rodeo, and now I get the connection. You've worked with him before.
Yes, yes. They've been a great sponsor over the years.
Yeah. That's a little shout-out to maybe he'll reduce my tax bill next time around. But Terry, how did the idea of the Fish Rodeo come about? I mean, it's really a novel and unique concept.
Well, I was talking with, I was asked by the former, now retired, executive director of the Greater Lansing Convention Visitors Bureau about, you know, what can we do? Did I have any ideas? What can we do to put, you know, Lansing and Michigan really on the map in a national way? And we did a lot of brainstorming, and I told them an idea I had in the early days of what we were doing in Old Town, which was we did our first events before Jazz and Blues Fest. Excuse me, was a snake rodeo, where we had all the artists have an image of the snake in their submissions, and we had, you know, music on the street. And since we're on the Grand River, and we have a fish ladder, I had this idea of doing a fish rodeo, and of course everybody laughed at me. And now 20 years later or so, well, anyways, I described the idea to Lee, and he said, hey, why don't we see if the CVB would support that, and they have. They've helped underwrite the start of this. We have a three-year plan to build it, and this will be our first year testing the waters, getting our feet wet, and how to do a crazy event on the Great Grand River in downtown Lansing.
Well, Terry, what's really compelling for me, this blending of the arts, of folk culture, natural resources, environmental stewardship, it kind of brings a lot of things together that maybe people don't commonly associate.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, our goal is to have a unique experience for people that are into boating and fishing and country music and other things. And to come together along our great river. I mean, one of the unused and untapped resources in Lansing in particular is the river, and we think this can help, you know, bring about some education and participation and development and proper stewardship of the river and so forth.
Well, again, it's the inaugural Grand American Fish Rodeo coming right up in Lansing, June 12th through 14th. Terry, let's talk about some of the things. What would you like to highlight? I mean, there's so many things going on, but I noticed, like, for example, there's a writing contest, which appeals to the old English major in me.
Right. We're giving, you know, everything is themed around fishing and boating, and we're giving, there's a writing contest. Everything's on the website. It's thegrandamericanfishrodeo.com, and you can sign up now. We encourage people to continue doing that for these competitions. But one of them is a writing contest. And I'll be honest, I don't remember what that prize amount is right now, but everything's got a prize. We're approaching $10,000 in prizes for all the event competitions that we're doing. We also have a fishing tournament. The U.S. Fisheries and Wildlife is helping organize that. A rubber fish derby, a boat parade, canoe and kayak races, a fashion show where people have to submit clothing or weird old fashioned clothing that have like 20% fishing net in it, some, a bucking bass, a watering hole, the beverage tent. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the fishing metaphors are abound here. We're going to be talking next with Tammy Pattison, whom you know from the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. But when you went to these different agencies with this idea, probably new for them as well, but what was the reaction when you talked to the DNR, the DEQ, the fish and wildlife people?
Well, two things. First, everybody laughed at me. Everybody laughed, which is good. They go, you know, fish rodeo, what's that? And we said, well, look, Texas has... You know, are known for cowboys and rodeos. Michigan, we have these great, you know, we have rivers, lakes, streams, fish. And so, and yet San Antonio, Texas has a, you know, a great, you know, area where they've got, you know, a $1 billion industry along this really little canals, and we've got a great river. So they liked it. And in fact, they had influence on the name because we first started out calling it the Great Lakes and then the Great American. And they said, you should call it the Grand American Fish Rodeo. It has a better ring to it, and you're on the Grand River. So now we're also saying to everybody, have a grand day instead of have a good day or whatever. Have a grand day when we leave. They've been really supportive. It's phenomenal, the resources that people are bringing to the table to make this happen.
My guest is Terry. He's the co-founder and president of the Michigan Institute for Contemporary Art. And the Michigan Institute for Contemporary Art is putting on the Grand American Fish Rodeo in Lansing, June 12 through 14. Terry, you mentioned San Antonio and that wonderful river walk. And, you know, as soon as you mentioned that, I caught, you know, I could envision the analogy or the comparison between this event and what goes on along that river walk with the arts and the music, et cetera. So that may have helped inspire this idea.
Could have. I've been there several times. So, yeah. And, yeah, we're excited. You know, it's our inaugural event. We want to be a little quirky, a little whimsical. You know, we've got the prize dimension. We got the great, you know, we want a lot of people on the river. We have boats and boat rides, people to really experience the river. And we've got great musical entertainment at night.
Well, we're certainly encouraging all of our listeners to get down there. But, Terry, are there any fees or charges? Is it free? How does it work?
I'll say mostly free. The beverage tent has a $5 entry, and then the bands in the evening are $10 to hear the evening performances. But everything else is free, the education, so forth. There may be some of the boating people may charge a few dollars for some of the boat rides, but everything's pretty heavily, you know, discounted in that regard. We'll have good food there, lots to drink. Westside Beer is a sponsor. Trips Automotive is our presenting sponsor for the whole event. We've got great community support, and our goal is, you know, another time we'll talk about our ideas for next year, but we have some really crazy ones that we think will really get us major national attention, but that will come next.
Well, as much fun as this event is going to be over the 3 days, and you've alluded to this several times, I mean, this is a major educational event for families and young people, not only about our great heritage, as you mentioned, but also about sustainability and environment and how to do things the right way going forward.
You got it.
Anything else, Terry? One thing I noticed, too, and I had to ask you this. The Red Cross is going to have a disaster relief ambulance on display. That's sort of an interesting exhibit.
Yeah, well, the Red Cross, you know, does a lot for our community, so much, and I'm really thankful that they're going to be there to show people what they do and educate, you know, people about what the Red Cross does, and so we'll have that available to us as well. I'm excited. I mean, there's so much going on with this. I don't even know everything. You know, people are bringing a lot to the table. And I think, you know, I want so many people to come to this and really experience it and then help us figure out really how to grow it and make it a premier event.
Well, again, with all of these wonderful sponsors, I mean, there are too many to mention, and all the program partners, I mean, it's impressive for first time out of the gate. Again, it's the 2014 Grand American Fish Rodeo, June 12th through 14th at Edado Riverfront Park in Lansing. Terry, we got about 30 seconds here, but give our listeners a shout-out, a pitch for why they need to come.
If you want to experience a unique event. If you like boating, if you like fishing, if you like country music, if you like to eat, if you like to drink, we've got it all. We've got a unique mix of people and experiences that nothing like it. Nothing like it. It'll be your most unique summer experience.
Well, Terry, you've certainly talked me into it. Again, it's the 2014 Grand American Fish Rodeo, June 12th through 14th, coming right up at Edado Riverfront Park in Lansing. I've been talking with Terry Terry, who's president of the Michigan Institute for Contemporary Art and Message Makers, and the MICA organization is spearheading the Grand American Fish Rodeo. Terry, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
This is Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, one of the key sponsors of the Grand American Fish Rodeo is the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. And the DNR is also one of the major participants in the event. And here to tell us why and how is Tammy Pattison. Tammy is the manager of the Education and Outreach Unit of the Fisheries Division of the DNR. Tammy, this event's going to be a lot of fun, but it's also going to be educational.
Absolutely. We are so excited about having this opportunity to, right here in Lansing, promote what the DNR stands for, to talk about how we want to enhance and protect Michigan's aquatic life and their and its habitats for generations to come.
Well, this is kind of a unique blending of the arts and natural resources, environmental quality, kind of an unusual mixture, but under this sort of this name of the Fish Rodeo. How is it the DNR got involved in this?
Well, when the idea was first pitched to the DNR, probably about a year ago, there was a very large component that we saw an opportunity for education and outreach. Many of the state's residents and citizens don't understand the importance of our aquatic resources, and we thought here in our area, right here in Lansing where we are, our main office is located, we would have an opportunity to show and to highlight many of the things that we're responsible for.
Well, what are some of the things that the DNR will have for folks at the Fish Rodeo?
Well, there's going to be an education tent, and within this educational tent, there's going to be several agencies represented, with the DNR being only one of them. The DNR will be there, and we will be having all kinds of activities for adults and children alike. We're going to be doing a youth fishing pledge because we really want to get youth involved more in fishing. So we have an activity around that. We'll be doing some hands-on things like tying knots, how to tie your hook onto your fishing pole. We'll be doing some casting activities as well so people can practice casting. Some of our other partners who are going to be involved will be the Department of Environmental Quality. We're going to have them involved. They're going to be talking about the state's aquatic invasive species. And we're hoping to have an Asian carp mount there. We're going to have a boat washing unit there so individuals can understand how they transport aquatic invasive species on their equipment.
Oh, and so and how they keep their equipment in such a condition that it doesn't transport those species.
Correct.
There's very interesting.
There's a new boat washing unit that should be on display there so we can show people how to clean their boats to keep those nasty critters from being taken from one body of water to another. We're also going to have the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service there and the Great Lakes Fisheries Commission. We're going to be having live sea lamprey where people can see what is a sea lamprey, what do they do, and how can we help protect against their spread within our state. We're going to have lake sturgeon, live lake sturgeon there. So that's a dinosaur fish here
yes.
in Michigan. So that will be fun for
iconic
people to see.
Iconic fish is what it is, yeah.
Definitely.
You know, Tammy, one of the motivations, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's no secret that young people these days are spending maybe too much time in front of computers and indoors. Part of what you do at the DNR with education and outreach is to encourage young people to get out of doors, to do fishing, to do that. And this has got to be key in the type of things, or typical of the type of things that you do.
Absolutely. One of our major goals right now is to for recruitment and retention. And recruitment is all of those young people that we want to know how important our natural resources are in the state to get them out, to get them introduced to different activities that they can do, and to know that they are going to be the stewards of these natural resources for generations to come. That's why we really want to emphasize hands-on activity at the Grand American Fish Rodeo. We're going to have other agencies in the educational tent not only talking about pollution control and how to eat safe fish, but also to get them to engage in these activities So that they have some fun while they're learning, and then maybe they'll take that knowledge and continue it in their everyday lives.
When the Michigan Institute for Contemporary Art first came to you with this idea, and I'm sure that Terry, whom we just talked to, was instrumental in that. I mean, was that something that you had to talk about, or did you guys recognize the value of this kind of an unusual event right out of the gate?
I think right out of the gate that we took it hook, line, and sinker. We said, this is a local opportunity that's going to be a lot of fun, and there are different segments of the population that are more difficult to touch, and those non-traditional users. It's not the person who's going out fishing every weekend and they already are engaged in the activity and having fun.
Yeah, those people are already hooked. You go back to your metaphors here.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So what we want to do is try to show people that the natural resources are everyone's and everyone can participate in them and everyone can have fun. And if we can give them some education on the way, that's an added bonus.
My guest is Tammy Pattison, and she is a manager of the Education and Outreach Unit for the Fisheries Division of the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Tammy, you may have mentioned this just a bit earlier, and I may have missed this, but one of the things you're going to have there is a fish planting truck.
Yes.
What is a fish planting truck?
The Department of Natural Resources has 6 hatcheries located across the state, and while we raise the fish there, then we use our planting units, and we have a fleet of them, to take them to the different planting sites across the state. So it's interesting for folks to be able to see this large unit, how we put the fish in there, how the fish are transported in this unit to wherever we are letting them go. If we were able to do a release, that's even more fun. But being able to look at the vehicle, we have a nice banner on the side. They're pretty impressive. We're also going to have a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service airboat on display.
Ah.
So people who have never been up close and personal with an airboat will be able to
see
it, touch
it. Are these boats that they use in the swamps, for example, Everglades
correct.
Or what have you?
They're also, at the event, at the rodeo, going to have airboat rides. I don't believe
how are they
going to
do that?
Well, it's not going to be the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Right. It's going to be a private contractor, but there will be airboat rides available on the Grand River there.
Now, all of these events are free to the public, as I understand it. So y'all come, basically.
Absolutely. The education tent and all that we have to offer in that facility, in that tent, will be free to the public. Some of the other things, like the boat rides and whatnot, there may be a nominal fee.
Now, who's going to staff the education? Are these all DNR folks that you've got lined up to do this over the 3 days?
Well, every agency that's going to be represented in the educational tent will have their own staff and or volunteers. The Red Cross will be there. The Department of Community Health will have staff there. We have, I believe, the Girl Scouts are participating and will be involved. So there'll be lots to do.
Tammy, in your role with education and outreach, and you, as you go around the state and you talk to people and you do events like these, what do you find are the issues that the DNR deals with that are of most interest to the general public?
Well, I believe that individuals, while they know that Michigan has a wealth of natural resources, I think it's more educating individuals about opportunities that they can have to participate in those activities and to be stewards for those resources. So I think our biggest emphasis is to try to put those people together with what their interests are, what their capacity is, what their what's in their area, what's local to them. So if we can show our citizens of Michigan everything that we have to offer out there, oftentimes they're like, wow, that was in my backyard, and I didn't even know it was there.
So maybe for school children or high schools, maybe it's invasive species and more the scientific end of it. But for someone who's a biker, it might be the trails. Or for someone who's a camper, the DNR passport, which has been so successful. It's just a question of going to where those people are and aligning your programs with their interests.
Absolutely. Education, education, education. That's what, when we can educate people, we get them. Again, they become hooked on natural resources.
Well, again, that's the Grand American Fish Rodeo. It's in Lansing, June 12th through 14th, coming right up. I've been talking with a representative of the Department of Natural Resources, one of the major participants and sponsors of the event. She is Tammy Pattison, and she's the manager of the Education Outreach Unit of the Fisheries Division of the DNR. Tammy, have a great time at the rodeo, and thanks so much for being on Greening the Great Lakes.
Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Kirk Heinze with Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. There's more online at mlive.com/environment.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, we're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. Visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman for the MSU Alumni Association. You know, we live in a time where people just don't join things anymore. So why are so many Spartans joining the MSU Alumni Association? Well, perhaps it's our world-class alumni enrichment team, constantly stretching Spartan minds and supercharging Spartan careers. Or perhaps it's our Spartan pipeline, which connects you to trusted friends wherever your adventures may take you. The MSU Alumni Association is dedicated to adding Spartan value to your Spartan life. Whatever it is that may be keeping you up at night, we can connect you with a fellow Spartan who can help. We truly live in a world where who you know is just as important as what you know. And joining the MSU Alumni Association can help you build the relationships you need for success on the job and in every corner of your Spartan life. That's why more and more Spartans are joining the MSU Alumni Association. Activate your membership right now at alumni.msu.edu.
Doug Bueller leads MSU Ag Bioresearch.
MSU Ag Bioresearch is really located strategically within Michigan State University, and we concentrate on research in agriculture, natural resources, and energy.
MSU Ag Bioresearch is changing the face of science.
Our mission really is wise use of the resources, both human and natural resources, and also to protect the productivity and profitability of our natural resource and agricultural systems.
More than 300 scientists from six MSU colleges are leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy.
Well, I think the most important thing we do is to continue to try to develop production systems that can put safe food on our plates, but also protect the environment and also a situation where the producers can make a good living and protect their resources at the same time.
MSU Ag Bioresearch, leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy.
Sundays at 4 o'clock, it's MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. MSU Today is a lively look at MSU-related people, places, events, and attitudes put into focus through conversations by MSU President Simon, Spartans A.D. Hollis, sustainability-focused Dr. Kirk Heinze, and me. MSU Today every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock on AM 870 WKAR. Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. To hear this show again, please click on the local tab at WKAR.org and scroll to MSU Today every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock on AM 870 WKAR.